I'm sorry, chapter number 6, Matthew 6, be in verse 9, not chapter 9. There was a fellow in Japan at the beginning of World War II. His name was Mitsuo Fuchida. Mitsuo means number 3 son. That was his name. And he was the man that led the attack on Pearl Harbor. He was a pilot. He was a commander. He was the fellow that issued the command for the airplanes to attack Pearl Harbor. And he was a pilot throughout the Second World War for the Japanese, survived the war, went back to Japan at the end of the war, and was living in a big city, I forgot which one, and he noticed that there was a lady there that was a missionary. Praise the Lord for missionaries. He had been raised Buddhist. The Buddhists believe when you're dead, you're dead. Well, they might think there might be some reincarnation or some other things, but they're not really big on heaven and that sort of thing. And the Buddhists are very, very opposed to killing of any kind, which is kind of a curious thought. How can you be a soldier and be Buddhist? But anyway, sort of like being a butcher and being Buddhist, that's not acceptable, really. But this fellow, he noticed this missionary lady, this young girl, was going around and trying to help the Japanese people. She wasn't just giving them the gospel. She would give them food if she could, or whatever they needed if she could help them. And Japan at that time was completely destroyed. The cities had been bombed. And he got to know her, and he found out that her parents had been murdered by Japanese soldiers during World War II. They were missionaries to some island, and the Japanese had gotten on the island and killed her parents. And he asked the question, how can she love the Japanese people and serve the Japanese people after what the Japanese have done to her parents? And it frustrated him. He couldn't understand how can this be? That doesn't make any sense. And he realized maybe he had it wrong. Maybe what he had been taught wasn't right. And praise the Lord, because of that confusion in his mind as to how someone could forgive the people that murdered her parents, this man got saved. And his biography is very interesting. He would actually, he came to the States, and he would go to meetings in the States and preach in the 50s. And he's not alive anymore, of course, but Mitsuo Fuchida, it's an interesting biography to read. A man that got saved because somebody was willing to forgive. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6 connects forgiveness and answered prayer. And let's look at this. I'll read this out loud. You can just remain seated, and I'm going to read verses 9 through 15. And listen carefully. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, he's talking about verse 12, and look at verse 14. He says, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's pray very quickly, and then we'll look at this passage tonight. Father, help us. We need help to forgive. It's very hard. It's not hard because of the act. It's hard to decide to do it. It's hard to believe that someone deserves it. It's hard to give up that right to hurt someone who's hurt us. And Lord, tonight's not a night for us to stop and think about all the times that people have hurt us, but it's a night to think about how you have forgiven us. We've hurt you more than anybody ever hurt us. Help us to focus not on what others have done to us, but what you have forgiven us for, the things you've done in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking the other day, I think about this subject quite a lot. The other day, it seems to me that when someone, he uses the word debt. I just want to make sure you understand what he's talking about there. When someone offends you, the word trespass there means they cross a line, they do something that needs to be forgiven. When someone offends you, whether they said something or they did something, a lot of the times people hurt us, but they don't mean to, but sometimes they mean to. I've been attacked. I mean, I've had people physically, not physically, verbally come after me. And their whole intent was make him feel bad. I want him to feel bad by what I say. And I've had people do that many times, I'm sorry to say. I think I don't want to think about them, but I do. And I thought about the other day. You know what those are? Those are opportunities to forgive. Told you about the lady in our church in Utah that she was going to put a yard out in front of her, a sign out in front of her house in her yard at Halloween that said, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." And somebody asked her, "What are you going to do when they throw pumpkins through your window?" She said, "I'm going to make pumpkin pie. I'm going to take what's bad and make something good out of it." That's what God does, isn't it? When someone hurts us, the instinct, the flesh, the natural reaction is to pay them back in kind. In other words, to hurt them for hurting us. And folks, aren't you glad Jesus didn't do that? Your sins, my sins, are what nailed him to that cross. And he had every right to send us straight to hell for our sins. But he chose to forgive us. Listen to me, God is a forgiving God. You might not think, well, a certain group of people or a certain person, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Did you read the news about the satanic conference they're having in Massachusetts this weekend? Don't read it. I just wanted you to know something. God's willing to forgive those folks. They tore a Bible up. I want you to know God was not impressed. Voltaire did that. You remember the story about Voltaire, the guy that the Volt is named after? He was an atheist, and he belonged to an atheist society, and they used to get a Bible and kick it around the floor and kick it back and forth to one another. And Voltaire was very proud of the fact that he was an atheist. When he died, he lay on his deathbed begging for mercy from God. We were talking about Stephen Hawking this week. Stephen Hawking didn't believe there was a God. He does now. You know, we don't have to worry about God taking care of that kind of thing. He can take care of that. And aren't you glad when he came to us, he didn't deal with us according to our sins. He dealt with us according to his love. And even people that would have a satanic conference and tear the Bible up and talk about how they hate the police and law enforcement. If you want to know, that movement to reduce law enforcement comes straight from hell. And they're all about that. They think that's a good idea to get rid of law enforcement because they don't want restraint. They want to do what they want to do. God can forgive them. God forgave us. Here are some thoughts. There's so much here. It's just not natural to forgive, but God commands us to do so. And when men offend one another, the basis of forgiveness is that God has asked us to do that. And so rather than thinking they don't deserve it, think about this. God asked you to do it. God asked you to forgive them. When my children were little and they would offend each other, I would make them hug. They hated that. You know, he just did something to me or she just did something to me, and I'd make them hug each other. But I wanted them to get along, and I wanted them to forgive each other. There's no ritual that people have to go through to forgive. There is no decision beforehand that has to be made to forgive. What we do, forgiving, a great definition is giving up or forsaking the right to hurt somebody who has hurt you. We forget that others have offended us. We leave that offense behind as much as possible, and it's hard to forget sometimes. And then we act as if there never was an offense. We act as if they hadn't done anything to us. That's exactly what God does, isn't it? He gave up the right to hurt us for hurting him. He forgave us for our sins when we didn't deserve it. And he acts as if, in fact, the Bible says he sets our sins as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. And God, unlike us, God can forget. Aren't you glad? If he was to look for our sins, what he would see is the blood of Christ. And that resolves that issue. With God, the basis of forgiveness is the Lord Jesus Christ. There had to be payment for sin, and there was payment for sin. But you got to remember that God forgave those folks that hurt us as well. Luke 5:20 explains, you don't need to turn there, that sin is really the basis of all of our problems. Faith is the basis of our forgiveness. He saw their faith, and he said unto them, "Man, thy sins be forgiven thee." So there's a connection here I want to just wander through this passage a little bit before we get to this, and I'll spend a couple of moments explaining this connection, but this is just an exciting thing. Look at this prayer beginning in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. He says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." When you pray, you talk to your Father. Amen? We talked about this last week a little bit. He's our Father. He's not just a God, not just the God. He's not just our God. He is our Father. We are spiritually born again. We are children of God. And he loves us like a father loves a son. He looks out for us like a father looks out for his son. And if you were as a child, if you came to your father and you really needed something, or you had a problem and you needed help with it, your father would come in a certain way because of his relationship with you and do what others wouldn't do. He is our Father, and we come to him, we come to him as a father. And it says in heaven, so we know where he is. He says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Why would he say that? He wants to remind us the name of God is precious. Don't take it for in vain. Even saying it in prayer, we are cautious and we mention his name is holy and it should be used only in a holy setting. And then he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And there's plenty of people that have preached plenty of messages on this, but each element is important. Folks, we trust God one day at a time. You know, we're not very good at that sometimes because we like to trust God a year out or 5 years out or something like that. And you probably when you go home tonight and look in the pantry or the refrigerator, you got enough food for tomorrow. Well, that's just because God's really good, because you don't have to. And I could tell you some stories about people that didn't, but God provided. But God takes care of us one day at a time. You have needs that God will meet tomorrow. They might not be food needs. They might not be money needs. But you got needs tomorrow, don't you? And God provides for us one day at a time. And there's nothing wrong with not having a lot stored up. You have a God that can meet your needs day by day. And then here we come to this key statement. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, the English teachers in the room look at that word "as," and we think, what other word could we use in that sentence? And we think of the word "like," in the same way. He says, "Lord, forgive me the way I forgive those who have offended me." Amen? In other words, we want to be the model that God could look at. If he can see me forgive somebody, I want him to forgive me the way I forgive. Hopefully we could say that, couldn't we? It's not easy, but it's what God said, and it gets exciting when you start to see the connection here. He asked not to be led into temptation, but to be delivered from evil. It concludes the prayer, reminding us that God's kingdom and power and glory belong to him and him alone forever. But then he comes back to one particular issue in these last two verses, in verse 14 and verse 15, and he says, if. He uses that same phrase in verse 15, if. If ye, that's all of us, that's a plural there. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, if you're saved, say amen. Amen. You're forgiven. Amen? So there's something else happening here, because you're not suddenly lost because you refuse to forgive somebody. A lady in Maryland told me one time, she had been offended, and I forgot who offended her, probably my wife or my daughter or somebody had to do with me had offended her. And I said, "Well, can you forgive them?" "No, I just don't know how to do that," she said. I said, "Well, you could." "No, I just can't do that." I was kind of stumped. I don't know what to say. God doesn't say you can't. He says you can. Amen? And he says, if you won't, then there's going to be, if you don't forgive somebody, then what happens is there becomes this barrier. Maybe you won't talk to each other. Maybe they won't help you, or maybe they'll start to be vindictive towards you. And you see, that same exact thing happens here. He says, when we pray, we don't want a barrier, do we? What if God would not forgive us for our sins, and there's a barrier between us and him where he won't hear our prayers? That's pretty serious, isn't it? Do you think God hears our prayers? What are you praying about? You believe? Amen? You come to church and you listen to the message and you think, what does this message have to do with me? Tonight, what it has to do with you is this. You need to be praying to God. You need to forgive the folks that have hurt you. God will forgive you. If you're saved and God's forgiven you and everything's right between you and Him, when you say, Lord, I sinned against you, please forgive me, He does. And when someone else has sinned against you, I think even if they don't ask, but especially when they do, you should forgive them. And then you've opened up a channel again with God where you can ask and He will deliver. But He says in verse 14 here, He says, if ye forgive men their trespasses, it is possible not to. And it is hard to sometimes, but it is not impossible. He says, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And then there's the contradicting or contrasting statement here in verse 15. But if ye forgive not, very clear, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So let's connect for the next 15 minutes maybe, prayer and forgiveness. Say, Pastor, I don't like that idea because I don't like to forgive people. It really feels good to forgive people, doesn't it? I'll give you a thought. Someone hurt you on purpose. They wanted to hurt you. They don't like you. It's not hard for me to work on this. I can just picture some people and think, yep, okay, that guy, yep, he's the one. That fella did not like me, and he tried to hurt me, and he tried to hurt me, and he tried to hurt me, and he said this, and he did that, and he did the other thing. I don't have time to deal with all that. Just forgive him and give it to God. Amen? You think God can deal with it? We were driving the bus a couple of weeks ago, and we're driving down Claremont over here. And a fellow pulled out in front of me. And then he stopped. He wanted to talk to me. I stopped the bus and opened the window. And he rolled his window down and cursed at me. And he was not happy that I pulled out in front of him. And I thought to myself, you know, that's upsetting. I didn't do anything, really. I just was driving down the road and he pulled out in front of me. About 2 or 3 days later, I was going home from church. And there's police cars all around this guy's house. I don't know what happened. It doesn't really matter that much. But I wonder if God dealt with something. Can't God deal with things? And by the way, folks, when you forgive somebody, forgiving somebody is not saying, oh, I hope God hurts them. Forgiving somebody is saying, God, it's yours. I'm moving on. I'm not going to let that stay in my life any longer. I'm going to forget about it. If there's any worthwhile life, it needs to be a continual daily effort to forgive folks that have offended us or sinned against us. Maybe they weren't honest with us. Maybe they weren't giving their best and it affected us. Maybe they injured us. Maybe they disagreed with us. Maybe they took something from us. Maybe they damaged us in some way. It doesn't matter because, again, anything that you can think of anybody's done to you, you've done worse to Christ. Anything you can think of, anybody's ever done to you, you've done worse to Christ. Nobody ever crucified you. You crucified Him. Nobody ever treated you the way we treated Him, and He is still willing to forgive. So here's the connection, and I'll have you turn to some passages with me. Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Look at verse 25, Mark 11, 25. He says, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Let's just stop for a minute and relish that thought. Do you believe God? I do. He has been faithful. He has promised. It is beyond possibility that this is all a coincidence. God has done great things. Because of prayers that you have made, because of prayers that I have made, God has demonstrated Himself faithful, and He'll keep doing that your entire life. He'll be faithful to you your entire life. Amen? He says, if you believe, you will receive. There's the connection right there. But then He says in verse 25, and. Well, we better read some more here. Mark 11, 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive. Now, let's just make sure we understand. This is not optional. This is not a suggestion or a possibility or something you could do if you feel like it. That's a command. When ye stand praying, forgive. What did the prayer say back in Matthew? Forgive us our trespasses as We forgive those that trespass against us. When you stand praying, forgive. And he says, if you have aught, that's a tiny thing, against any, that or so that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But it's the same thing as we saw in Matthew. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. When ye stand praying, forgive. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to come back to the Gospels in a minute, so don't get too comfortable here at the end of the New Testament. But 1 John 3. He says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, he says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because, there's a reason for this, because we keep his commandments. What was the commandment back in Mark 11, 25? When you stand praying, forgive. He says, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I just got to remind you of something. The life you live has an impact on the way God hears your prayers. The way you consider what pleases him is going to affect the way he considers how to answer your prayers. If you decide to live a wicked life and think nothing about God, just need to remember something. It's going to hinder his answer to your prayers. All right, back to Matthew 6 again. No, I'm sorry, Luke 6. I'm sorry, Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. Really closely connected with what we saw in Matthew, but we'll look at one more. Let's go to verse 35. Luke 6:35. It says, love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. So that pattern of forgiveness is also a pattern. If you, the mercy that you would like God to extend to you is the kind of mercy you should extend to somebody else. And what is mercy? Mercy, the man stands before the judge. He has been found guilty. I've heard these words with my own ears. A man is guilty. He's standing before a judge, and the judge is able to sentence him to an extreme length of time in jail or prison. And the man says, Your Honor, I'm asking for your mercy. In other words, do not give me a harsh punishment. Do not give me the worst that you can. I'm asking for you to be lenient. I'm asking for you to not hold this against me in the greatest way that you can. It's the same as forgiveness in a lot of ways. It's close to it anyway. We should ask God for mercy. God is a merciful God, but we should give mercy in that same way that we would like mercy. And then he says in verse 37, judge not and ye shall not be judged, condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Here we go. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. So there are those connections again. Forgiveness and the importance of forgiveness. Now go back to Matthew chapter 6 and we'll finish up very quickly. Matthew chapter 6. We're almost done. We'll be a little bit early tonight maybe. The prayer, we think of this not as the Lord's Prayer so much as a model of our prayer. In verses 9 through 13 of Matthew chapter 6, the very next word after amen is the word for. And that word for in that case has the meaning of because or in order to. It's an idea that there's a connection here. And the one thing he picks out again is forgiveness. He says, because if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father will forgive you. We need to have forgiveness in our life because we need to have God to answer our prayers. Our Heavenly Father is a forgiving Father in verse 9. Our God has a will for us and His will is for us to forgive. And we prayed for that in there, thy will be done in verse 10. We have needs only our Father can meet and we need for Him to meet our needs in verse 11. We need to be forgiven in verse 12. We need to be protected from temptation in verse 13. And so think about it like this. God comes to us and God says this. There's all these things that we need. God says, I need something. I need for you to forgive. Amen? You say, well, it just doesn't seem right. Yeah, it's really right if God asks you to do it. If God says to forgive, you say, it doesn't seem right, it doesn't seem fair. God's very good at making fairness come out. He can make things turn out to be more fair than you understand. And besides, you really don't want fair, because if you wanted fair, that means you pay for your sins too. So God says, you need these things. You've listed them. I listed them for you. I won't do it again. He says, I need something. I need for you to be forgiving. And you've heard this from me many times. The best way I found to forgive somebody is to get down on my knees and say, Lord, this person that hurt me, I want you to do wonderful things for them. I want you to know I forgive them. And as an evidence of that, I'm asking you to bless them. I'm asking you to do great things for them. Give them a great day. Give them a great life. Get them right in line with your will and give them a great eternity. And let them see souls saved and let them have a wonderful life. And you know what that does? That makes me feel really good. Because now it's not mine anymore. It belongs to God. The very same thing Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because a lot of the time, people don't really understand. We know the Bible. We understand some things. We understand it's important to forgive. It's important to let God have it instead of hanging on to it for ourselves. And when you do that, the Bible talks about heaping coals of fire on their head even. I think some people have a hindered prayer life because they just won't forgive others. I think some people have a hindered relationship with God because they just won't forgive others. So I have a question for you tonight. Don't answer out loud, but answer in your heart. Will you forgive? Amen? Pastor, you don't know what they did. God knows what they did. Let him take care of it. Will you forgive? Pastor, it doesn't seem right. Yeah, it's right. God asked you to do it. And if God asked you to do it, it's right. Will you forgive? Well, Pastor, I just don't know how. I don't always know how either, but I can do the best I can and let God do the rest. Amen? Let's be a forgiving people. Let's all stand and pray.